I will. Yep. So Acts chapter 6 tonight. Since we have this special service, instead of continuing with our series through Ezekiel, I thought we would look at these verses that speak so much of the importance of the diaconate. If we're going to have a special service, if we're going to pray for deacons, if we're going to go through all of this evening, it's good to be reminded of why we're doing this to some degree. And so while there are many places in Scripture we could look, Acts chapter 6 is one of those that gives us much instruction. But before we read, let's pray and ask for God's blessing upon His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and again, we're thankful that tonight we can set these men apart, or really we can see You set these men apart to serve as deacons. Lord, would You bless now the reading and the preaching of Your Word, and use it for great good in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would come to appreciate the deacons that we have, the deacons that You have called to serve among us, that we might be able to support them and understand how important they are. And so we pray for Your blessing, and we constitute ourselves as a court of Your house in the name of Christ, the King and Head of the Church. Amen. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Let us hear God's holy word. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Thus the reading of God's holy word. May He bless it to us this evening. Well, in the human body, boys and girls, you might know this from class, there are 78 organs, but how many of them are vital for life? Only 5 of them, out of all of them, right? The heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, and the brain. And so we learn that we can live without our appendix, and we learn that we can live without our gallbladder, but these are the organs we cannot live without, right? They are essential for life and for health as a human being. And as we come to Acts chapter 6 this evening, we see that the church, in a way, also has what we could say are vital organs, right? Components of the church, of the body of Christ, that are necessary for the life of the church, that are necessary for the health of the church as the body of God's people. And among others, these vital organs are the elders and the deacons. Now, to be clear, these offices are not the only thing that contribute to the church's well-being. Of course not. So much more is required, not the least of which being all of you, the people. Right? But at the same time, Scripture reveals the indispensability of these offices. And in Acts chapter 6, we see that to be true of the deacons in particular. Right? For the church to function, but really, for the church to thrive, the deacons are essential in more than just one way. And Lord willing, we'll see many of those ways this evening. And this is what our text makes known to us, the vital importance of the diaconate. Right? The vital importance of the diaconate, including the deacons who serve here at RPCL. And so we should be thankful for them, and we should pray for them, which is our main point of application tonight. Right? So given their vital importance, here we are to be thankful and pray for the deacons Jesus has provided to serve among us. Right? This is our main point of application tonight. Given their vital importance, be thankful and pray for the deacons Jesus has provided to serve among us. Well, under that main point, I want us to see first, and you'll notice this on the outline that I've given you, that the meeting of physical needs is an important part of the church's ministry. The meeting of physical needs. And so let's go back to the beginning here at verse 1, where Luke tells us, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." In the Jerusalem church, there were really two groups of people. There were the Jews who had been born and raised in Israel. These were the Hebrews. These were the ones who spoke the Hebrew language and who lived largely in accordance with the Hebrew culture. But then you also had the Jews who were born and raised outside of Israel, and these were known as the Hellenists. These were the ones who spoke the Greek language. These are the ones who lived largely in accordance with Greek culture. Right, but the church in Jerusalem was not only made up of these two people groups, it was also quite large. I realize we haven't been going through the book of Acts, but in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches his sermon, and what happens? Thousands of people are converted to Christ. Thousands of people who presumably were added to this congregation. And so it's quite large at the time. And yes, while that's obviously a good thing, what we see here is that it led to difficulties. In particular, as Luke tells us, it led to difficulties with the daily distribution. Right? And this was the church's system for helping the needy widows within the congregation. 1 Timothy 5:16 says, "If a widow has family members, the family is to care for the widow. But if the widow does not have family members available to care, then the church is to care for them." And that's what the church was doing for these widows. They were distributing food to them. They were presumably meeting other needs for these women. And yet as the church kept growing, we're told, it became harder and harder to make sure all of these needs were met. And so in the process, as we're told, the Hellenists, the Greek speakers in the church, believed that their widows were being neglected. Right, verse 1, "There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Now, we're not told to what degree this happened. We're not told was it done on purpose or not. That doesn't seem to matter. But what we do know is how the apostles responded to the complaint. And that's really what is important here. And how did they respond? Well, they did not ignore it. Right? They didn't minimize it. Right? They didn't even say, "Wait your turn, we'll get to you eventually." They didn't defend anyone. They didn't accuse anyone. Instead, they came up with a solution that would alleviate the problem. Now, Dennis Johnson puts it this way. He says, "The apostles did not dismiss the Greek-speaking Christians as malcontents. Instead, they addressed the problem seriously and promptly." And that's what we see here, right? They took action to make sure the widows were being cared for, because if they didn't, what was going to happen? Well, for one, there would be division in the congregation. Right? Clearly, this is assumed, but clearly the Hellenists thought there was prejudice. Right? The Hebrew widows are not being missed, so why are our widows being missed? And if the apostles didn't address it, what would happen? Well, there'd only be even more problems for them to deal with. Right, these two groups of people would become even more separate. Right, but more than that, it had to be dealt with, because if left alone, there would be disobedience in the church. And Scripture makes this clear. Widows are never to be neglected. This comes up in numerous places in the Old Testament. This comes up in the New Testament as well. I've given you James 1:27, which says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." The apostles knew that to not care for the widows would be to sin against the Lord. And so to prevent division, but also to prevent disobedience, they derived a plan. And the plan, we see, is one that would not take them away from ministering the word, but that would ensure all of the needs of the widows were being addressed. And before we get into the details of the plan, what I want you to see here is that the reason they took this seriously is because they understood that the church is not only to minister spiritually, the church is to minister physically as well. And if you're like most people, when you see a needy person approaching you for help, perhaps you're at the store or pumping gas or wherever you might be, the first thought most people have, it seems, is something to the effect of, oh no, right? Oh no, right? Because either we don't have time to help the needy person, or to be more brutally honest, we don't want to help the needy person. Right? It's an inconvenience. It forces us, it makes us uncomfortable. It forces us to spend more time talking or to think about, do I give you money or how do I help? I don't want to give you money. I've got things I'd rather do. Why are you even bothering me? Right? And so this is why it's so tempting to push the needy away. This is why it's so tempting to ignore them altogether. Well, you realize that's exactly how the apostles could have responded. They could have said, sorry, ladies, I know you don't have what you need, but we have way more important things to do right now. We're the apostles of Jesus Christ. We're called to minister the word of God. The growth of the church in many ways hinges upon us. There are more important matters that require our attention than slowing down to make sure you get enough for dinner. They could have said that. Many of us perhaps would have said that, but that's not the response we see, because a ministry of the gospel, they knew, is always to stand side by side with a ministry of mercy. Meeting physical needs should never take away from meeting spiritual needs in the church. But at the same time, meeting spiritual needs in the church should never take away from meeting physical needs in the church. God says in His Word, both are important, both are to be prioritized. And so, that's the reason the apostles came up with their plan for ensuring the widows would be cared for. This is what Jesus wants for His body, a balanced ministry of word and deed, preaching and mercy. Well, how were the needs to be met? What is the plan? This is our second point on the outline, and that is Jesus has appointed the office of deacon to address these needs in particular, these physical needs in particular. And so going back to the text, verses 2 and 4, let's read them one more time. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Serving tables, which is a reference for providing for the widows here, is an important matter, the apostles say. Right? It is a good work. It is a necessary work. It is something that is to be done and not overlooked. But the apostles understood it was not to be done by them. Now, they could be involved in it, but they were not to be the ones who were in charge of this ministry. Not because they were above such things, but as they say here, because it would distract them from their primary calling of prayer in the ministry of the word. Right? Having been commissioned to focus on those things, they must continue in them with faithfulness. They understood that, which they couldn't do if they were now serving tables and feeding widows. Right? But again, right, the serving of tables is important work. The widows are not to be overlooked. And so while the apostles knew they couldn't focus on it, what did they do? They made sure that others could focus on it, so that the widows would not be neglected. And that's what their plan was all about, this plan that Jesus led them to develop and implement. And so the plan is this: to meet the needs of the widows, 7 men were to be chosen from among the congregation who would be appointed over this business, right? Who would oversee and manage this daily distribution of all the widows in the Jerusalem church. Right? But as we see here, they were not just to be seven random men or the seven most popular men. There were particular qualifications they had to meet. And so first, these seven men had to be of good reputation. Right? This meant that they had to be well thought of by others, both inside the church, but also outside the church. They had to be known as men of integrity, right, who were free from scandal, men who could be trusted with the church's resources. Second, they had to be full of the Holy Spirit, we're told, meaning they had to be men full of the Holy Spirit's fruit, love and joy and faithfulness and self-control, as well as full of the Holy Spirit's gifts. Right? The ability to handle money, for instance, the ability to minister to the needy. In other words, these seven men had to be both godly and gifted for the task. And then third, they had to be full of wisdom, meaning they were to be men of good judgment who make good decisions. Right? They're to be careful and circumspect in what they do, because again, these are men that they were to trust and rely upon. And Derek Thomas says, the task of mercy ministry is too important to address casually. It is an extension of the mercy of Jesus to those in the flock who are weak and helpless, and so those who administer it need to be Christ-like in their approach. So, as the congregation thought of who they would choose, these were the qualifications they had to keep in mind. And as we see here, there were, by the grace of God, seven men who met these qualifications. We get a list of them here. Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, who were chosen by the people and then set apart by the apostles through the laying on of hands. These were the ones who would oversee the work of mercy ministry, while the elders, or the apostles rather, focused on the work of the gospel in a spiritual sense. And what I want you to see tonight is that these men were the precursor of the New Testament deacon, right, who are called to do the same types of things today. The Bible says, as the elders focus on meeting the spiritual needs of the flock, the deacons focus on meeting the physical needs of the flock. This is the ministry that the deacons oversee within our congregation. So if you look again on your outline, I've given you the RP Testimony, chapter 25, paragraph 11, which tells us a bit about the deacons. It says, the diaconate is a spiritual office subordinate to the session and is not a teaching or ruling office. The deacons have responsibility for the ministry of mercy, the finances and property of the congregation, and such other tasks as are assigned to them by the session. When it comes to meeting physical needs in the church, whether it's helping those in financial straits, whether it's caring for widows, whether it's providing a variety of other forms of tangible help, the deacons are the one, God says, who have been called to manage it in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that they're the ones who do all the work. Of course, delegation is essential. Recruiting is a key part of their work. But it means that they're in charge of it, right? That they're responsible for it. It's their job to be aware of the physical needs, and it's their job to decide how those physical needs can be provided for and met as appropriate. Right? But also, these are the men who manage the funds used to meet those needs. Right? They're responsible, we're told, for the finances and property of the congregation. And so as such, it's their duty to steward the church's money and assets. Right? They receive the tithes given to the church, and then they manage the distribution of those tithes. They supervise what belongs to the church, and they see that it's used and cared for to the benefit of all. Right? For the good of the congregation, for the sake of extending mercy to those in need, the deacons have been charged with these responsibilities. This is how they're to serve in the congregation. Right? Like the men of Acts 6, they're to serve tables, as it were. Right? Which is where the word deacon comes from. To be a deacon is to be a servant. And what I want to be clear in all of our minds tonight is that their service is vital. It is absolutely essential. Because when they serve in these ways, they free up the elders to focus on the spiritual needs of the church. But also because when they serve in these ways, they ensure that physical needs are being met. And physical needs, we cannot forget, meeting them is an important part of the church's ministry. This is a key way that the Church of Christ is to honor the Savior and bless mankind. I was thinking of a factory this week. You could think of SIA or anything that produces something. It's not all, the finished product is not made by just one little group of people. No, you have these people working on the engines. You have these people working on the paint. You have these people working on these other different aspects. Because if it was just one group of people doing everything, what kind of cars would we have in the end? Right? It would be an absolute disaster. It could not happen. Right? Dividing and conquering, if you will, is what ensures that everything gets the attention it needs. And that's what we need to understand when it comes to the church. There are too many needs for the apostles to handle in the past and for the elders to handle today. And so what did Jesus do? He created the office of deacon to support the elders in their spiritual ministry and to help people physically in a million different ways. This is Jesus' plan for meeting the needs of his people, including your needs and my needs in this congregation. And so as we see thirdly and finally, we should be thankful and we should pray for these deacons that Jesus has provided to serve among us. Look at verse 7 at the end of the chapter. Here Luke tells us, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see this phrase come up numerous times about how the church grew in number. But this is the first time it's expressed this way, where we're told the word of God spread. And what does that mean? Well, it means that the word of God was having an effect on people. Right? It means the word was leading to conversions and people were trusting in Christ and the church was growing. And even those you would not expect to believe, like the Jewish priests were told here, were becoming obedient to the faith and following after Christ. Right? And so this is what God's word was accomplishing at the time as the apostles were preaching and ministering it. But how did it happen? That's the question we're led to ask here. And it happened, I would argue, because of what we see in verses 1 to 6. It happened because the apostles remained focused on the spiritual work of the kingdom. And these seven men remained focused on the physical work of the kingdom. Right? That's how it happened. Right? There's a connection, I believe, we're to see between the first six verses and verse 7. Through the implementation of this plan to meet the widow's needs, God blessed the church's ministry with results. And you see, this helps us understand how crucial the plan really is, because it tells us that the church is able to grow, and we should even expect the church to grow when the deacons are doing their part. But the church isn't only able to grow by the plan. The church is also greatly blessed by the plan. Because again, and this is obvious, but let us take it to heart tonight. When the deacons are doing their part, needs are being met. Spiritual needs are being met. Physical needs are being met. And that is a wonderful thing. Not just for some people in the church, but that's a wonderful thing for every single person in the church. You can imagine a home full of kids with no parents. Boys and girls, you ever thought about that? Right? What would that be like? Maybe that's exciting to you for a moment. Oh, think of all the ice cream. Even the grad students think that's exciting, right? Think of the ice cream you could eat. Think of how late you could stay up and all the movies you could watch. But eventually, wouldn't you realize, boys and girls, this isn't actually all that much fun? Right? Who's going to get the Band-Aids when you fall and cut yourself? Right? Who's going to scare the monsters out of your closet when you're trying to go to bed at night? Who's going to make dinner and make sure there's an endless supply of food in your pantry? Right? Mom and dad do those things for you. Right? You need mom and dad. They're the ones that make the home such a place of blessing. And in a different way, but a similar way, that's how it is in the church. Good elders and deacons make the church a place where you want to be, because when they're doing their jobs faithfully, the church is the one that's blessed. Right? And friends, we are blessed. Would you agree with that? We are blessed in particular for our deacons and for the three new deacons we're about to have this evening. Three new men who will support the elders so the spiritual work can go on. Three new deacons who will minister to your physical needs and to the needs of those who come from outside to this congregation. We are blessed. And so how are we to respond? Well, we should be thankful. And let us be thankful. Thankful for the spiritual ministry that the deacons enable to proceed. Thankful for the mercy ministry that meets those who are in need. And perhaps even you have benefited from the mercy ministry of this congregation. Thankful for their stewardship of our resources to the glory of God and to the benefit of everybody in this congregation. We should be thankful to them for these things, expressing our appreciation to our deacons. We should be thankful to God, giving Him praise for the provision of our deacons. And with that, we should pray for them. We should pray for them that they would continue to meet the qualifications for the diaconate. We should pray that they would be guided by the Lord in all of their many decisions. We should pray that they would be used by the Lord in significant ways for the growth of the kingdom, both here in Lafayette and beyond. Because again, we are the ones who benefit from their diligence and their faithfulness. And God is honored by it. Derek Thomas says, "Church growth through faithful and earnest proclamation of the word requires a vibrant diaconate." And that's what we need to pray for, a vibrant diaconate, as we lift up Yemi, Kost, and Dan, but also as we lift up Justin, Nathan, and Jacob. Like the heart and lungs are to the body, deacons are vital to the life and the health of the church. Let us thank God for them, and let us ask God to bless them. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You that we can consider how important the deacons are. We realize that they do things that are obvious to us, like organize a work day, but there is so much that we don't see, and yet how crucial it is for the work of the church, for the ministry of the gospel, for the well-being of the flock, for the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, for the care of all the needs of Your people, both physically and spiritually. And so we thank You corporately tonight for the deacons who have served us in the past, who are serving us currently, and who will serve us in the years to come. And Lord, we do pray that Your blessing would be upon them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.